Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Yesterday on this show, Philip Nolan from NPHET said we're on a knife edge, and he called on the 300,000 people out there who are not vaccinated to get the job now. And we know one of our most vulnerable groups is pregnant women, and it's reported today that from late June, 12 pregnant women were admitted to ICU with COVID-19. In the summer, this programme spoke to Josh Willis about his wife Samantha, who died from COVID having given birth to their daughter. And Josh described how Samantha never got to hold Evie Grace.
It's one of the worst things about it. Like, I thought if I could manage to get her even to 3 months, that it might be enough to help her fight that bit more and get her better if she got to even hold her. Like, so I'm hoping telling the story and our story, anybody, whether they're pregnant or not pregnant, so if they're sitting on the fence, that final push to sort of go get the vaccine, then I'm hoping our story can help that person. And I think it would have been the last thing other than family life things. And then that's, you know, I'm done, basically.
Well, I'm joined now by Dr. Catherine Motherway, who's consultant in anaesthesia and intensive care medicine at University Hospital Limerick. Good morning to you, Dr. Motherway.
Good morning, Claire.
It's difficult to listen again to Josh Willis reminding us about that awful situation where his wife Samantha died from COVID. And it's frightening too to think of the women in various states of pregnancy ending up in ICU over the past 4 months. What are the numbers of pregnant patients you're seeing now, not just where you are, but your colleagues across the country?
Well, across the country, there's been a significant increase in pregnant COVID admissions and in this wave. From January to May 2021, there were 12 pregnant admissions, but 4 recently pregnant patients as well. And from June to August, there were 13. And in September, there were 5. In October, there were 3. And, you know, there were a significant number of patients who come into us recently pregnant or pregnant on admission with COVID. In this particular wave, it has changed. This wasn't a problem really in the first wave. We weren't that particularly worried about that segment of our population. But in the recent wave, we have seen significant numbers of pregnant patients admitted very sick to our intensive care units. And of course, we're significantly worried about the vaccination uptake in that population, because pregnant women, understandably, are very, very, very concerned about their baby and want to do nothing to harm it. So
of course,
they have
a
worry.
And we'll talk about that in a moment. But do you have any idea why? I mean, you're seeing more. Is it because of the Delta variant and its transmissibility?
We're assuming so, yes. Or at least I'm assuming so, yes.
And is it much more complicated for you to treat a person, a woman who's pregnant?
It isn't really. I mean, they still get very sick, and we do exactly the same thing for a pregnant patient as we do for a non-pregnant patient. They need sometimes to be ventilated. We sometimes need to prone them. That can be slightly more awkward, but we can still do that. About half the pregnant patients thus far have required proning. 2/3 of them have required invasive ventilation and inotropes thus far, thankfully. And poor man up north, we haven't lost a pregnant, our recently pregnant patient south of the border yet. But my sympathies to that poor man. It must be awful. Mm-hmm. So we do the same. Obviously, it's a bit more complicated. The patient is still pregnant, so you have to make sure that you care for the baby as well. But it is something that I've said all my life in my career. The best way of taking care of a baby is to take care of its mother. And if you take care of its mother well, then you will hopefully end up with a very good fetal and maternal outcome. So you're taking care of two people, and you obviously have to be cognizant of the baby and monitor the baby as well as the mother. But the best way is to take care of the mother well and to try and ensure that she gets to a stage where she can be delivered safely, and then you will get a good outcome for both patients. So it's a bit more complicated because it's two people, not one.
Yeah, and then you have the mother, and you alluded to this earlier on, who is trying to do everything that she can to take care of her baby, and that's, you know, not drinking alcohol, probably not drinking coffee, not eating certain foods, and then they're asked to take a vaccine while they're pregnant, and they're very worried and concerned about what that might do to them. So what is your advice?
My advice is that thus far, all of our obstetric colleagues, all of our public health colleagues, and all of our intensive care colleagues would advise pregnant women to get this vaccine. it is exactly the same as it was during the swine flu. This particular variant is a threat to people who are pregnant. They are a significant proportion of our critically ill population. And the vaccine is very protective and safe, and to my knowledge, is now being offered at all stages in pregnancy.
We're a little bit worried, aren't we, in general, because we have had Philip Nolan saying we're on a knife edge. We're watching the case numbers now every day. We see certain hospitals are under pressure. What do you think is going on?
I think that the winter is coming, essentially, and we're inside a bit more. And we've obviously opened up and we're moving around a bit more and we're meeting each other a lot more than we were this time last year. So I think there is a significant amount of disease in the community. And that does eventually, as numbers rise, as you know, translate into increased hospital admissions and ICU admissions. Obviously, because we're now a very vaccinated population, it's not as bad as it was before. But there is some anxiety about vaccine immunity waning a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, NIAC, I heard the lady was speaking this morning, will consider all of their options. And they're now offering a booster to the very at-risk population like they did before, the over 65s in residential care, the over 80s in the community, and also people whose immune systems don't work that well. So I presume they will then go on to consider who else they will actually vaccinate or not offer a booster, keeping in mind, I suppose, their big difficulties, the vaccine equity situation worldwide. So, I mean, there's an anxiety, I think, about offering perfectly healthy people a third vaccine if they don't necessarily need it. But I think they are going to start looking at the at-risk groups in the same order, I presume, as they vaccinated us in the first place.
Okay, well, maybe it's not just the at-risk groups, though, who need it, because I know Luke O'Neill has said over the last few days that all over 60s now need a booster.
I think he was of that view because they had, yeah, but they're an at-risk group. I mean, I would consider the over 60s an at-risk group. I would consider frontline healthcare workers an at-risk group. And I think they'll have to look at all of that and make a choice based on the knowledge that they have.
But you'd imagine we'd want to be doing that fairly quickly. I mean, we don't want to run into a situation where it's too late.
You would, and you're speaking to an intensivist, not a public health expert.
Claire. I know,
so,
I know.
So I don't want to go overstepping the bounds of my knowledge.
Yes.
I personally do feel that they will look at this, and I think they will make that decision. I think they will look at what's happened in other populations, particularly if you look at population bases, look at Israel. They saw an upsurge. They've revaccinated their population. It does seem to have worked somewhat for them based on what I read.
Okay.
So I think they will look at it. And in particular, they need to look at healthcare staff because of the risk of outbreaks. And we have outbreaks in our hospitals at the moment. So like we do need to, they will look at that. I have no doubt they will look at that. And I think, you know, I'm inclined to agree with Luke O'Neill. I mean, I think as the winter comes and as those of us, you know, people are vaccinated earlier, if this vaccine immunity does wane, as it appears to do, based on what I've read, somewhat, they will look at it and make their decision based on knowledge that they will get and that they would have more access to than I would, in fairness.
Catherine Motherwake, consultant in intensive care medicine, thank you indeed for talking to us.